You may remain seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The focus of our sermon today comes from the gospel reading we just considered, where Jesus healed the woman who had the flow of blood and then also raised the little girl who had died back to life. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed. It involved a bunch of 4 to 6-year-olds, a marshmallow, and patience. They called it the marshmallow test. In 1970, Stanford University conducted a test using marshmallows and children. What they did was they offered to the children a choice. They said they could have one marshmallow, and they could eat it right away, or they could wait 15 minutes and they would get 2 marshmallows if they didn't eat the first one. It was a test of patience. And the results showed that about a third of the children were able to wait the 15 minutes and get the reward of having a second marshmallow. Sitting there, staring at the marshmallow on the table. What would you do? It's not so surprising that the majority weren't able to wait, especially today when you think about how many things we have at our fingertips. Today, living in a touchscreen technology, we've got it all in a moment's notice, right at our fingertips, instantly. With just a swipe of the finger, we can find the answers we want. So would you wait 15 minutes for a second marshmallow? In our sermon today, we explore the concept of Christian patience, what it means to wait. We're talking about a 12-year-old chronic illness in the text, and also a 12-year-old girl who actually dies as they wait. From our perspective, it appears that God's kingdom sometimes is late getting here. And so we continue our series in Mark, Contrasts of the Kingdom, by considering how Jesus, our King, delays but comes. 12 years is a long time to wait. It's an even longer time to live as an outcast. This woman's bleeding would have rendered her ceremonially unclean in the Jewish religious society. And that meant that she couldn't have any contact with other people. Any contact would have rendered somebody else unclean. This means that for 12 years, she was unclean to participate in any kind of temple worship. For 12 years, she sought a cure. She went to every doctor she could find, tried all kinds of different methods, different treatments. She spent everything she had, and she didn't get any better. In fact, she got worse. For 12 years, she waited until she learned of him. They say he has healed many diseases. They say he has the power over evil spirits. They say he even with one word was able to heal a man that was paralyzed. He preaches and teaches with the authority of a prophet. He speaks good news and he talks of God's kingdom coming graciously to people who are suffering, who are lowly, who are sinful. Could this be the one? Could this be the Christ? And her faith endures. It searches. It reaches out for him. Just to touch him is all she thinks she needs. She notices he's walking with the ruler of the synagogue, a very prominent man, and he's surrounded by a crowd of people. How could someone like her, who is unclean, make her way to Jesus without somebody stopping her and telling her to leave him alone? And so she does it secretly. She finds her way through the crowd until she comes up on Jesus, and she just touches the hem of his garment. It took 12 years, but she found him. Or maybe we should say he found her. In fact, he found her the minute that that promise reached her. The promise of what Jesus can do. That is where God's kingdom rules. It doesn't rule in giving us whatever we want. It doesn't rule through medical means and doctors and whatever earthly things you think you can find. No, it rules when we are led to seek Jesus by faith. Its fruits are patience, endurance, searching, reaching, and trusting. And she reached him, and she was made well. The same test is before you. Maybe it's a chronic affliction, like back pain or arthritis that seems to never go away and only gets worse despite all the doctors have done. Maybe it's a debilitating disease like diabetes or dementia. Maybe it's something you've spent a lot of money on and seen a lot of doctors for. Maybe it's psychological or spiritual, an affliction, impatience or anger or depression. Maybe it's a desire for gratification, gossiping, and other lusts of our flesh. It's laid before you to gratify or to satisfy. The task is there to take the marshmallow and get exactly what you want right away, or to be patient and wait for other things God could give you. You could respond by gratifying your flesh for a time. You could get angry. You could get depressed. You could complain, and that's what we would like to do. We reach out for the touchscreen solution, whatever's going to swipe this thing away and make us feel better. And these are sins, sins of impatience and instant gratification, things that are going to infect our flesh till the day we die. But there are times when God wants us to wait. Many, many times when he delays, even 12 years, when his kingdom does not come in instant gratification, but in eternal satisfaction. There he is when we need to find him the most. There he is in just the place he should be, in patience. We find him in everlasting patience on the cross. That's where our faith is reaching. That is what our faith needs, because there on the cross we find an answer that doesn't gratify, but that will satisfy. That will satisfy God's anger with our sins, the curse that's against us, and his salvation. And we find what we're looking for. As the writer to the Hebrews says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So we keep on praying, we keep on enduring, we keep on searching. And there, in the midst of the crowd, he stops. Jesus stops. And he touches the untouchable, the woman who no one is supposed to touch. And he makes her well. Even when he delays, we know his will and purpose is good, and it'll come at the time he wants it to. and he sends us away in peace. He stops everything he's doing to pay attention to you and what you're going through and how he can help you. So the writer from in Lamentations says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Even though he delays, he does come." But what about those situations where it seems like Jesus has come too late? He has so much going on, after all. We've got a world full of broken sinners, everyone hurting in one way or another, everyone in need of his care and his help, and perhaps he just can't make it in time. He stops to help someone else, but he doesn't seem to get to you in time. What about those situations where Jesus delays so long that it ends in something you can't get back? What about when it ends in death? The original marshmallow test was said to measure patients in terms of self-control. Can these children control themselves long enough to wait for the extra reward? However, later experiments showed there was more to it than just self-control, that patience was more than just self-control. So in 2012, they conducted another test. And in this test, they added an extra promise to it. The first group they took, they gave them a promise, and then they broke it. And then they did the marshmallow test. And then the second group, they did the same promise, and they fulfilled the promise, and then they did the marshmallow test. The first group was the unreliable group, and the second group was the reliable group. What they found was that there was more to patience than self-control. They called it strategic waiting. Strategic waiting was the measure of a child's confidence that the promise would be fulfilled. The result was that the second group, the reliable group, was willing to wait up to 4 times longer than the first group who had the original promise broken. Strategic waiting is a measure of your confidence that the promise is going to be kept. Are you willing to wait 15 minutes for the second marshmallow? Do you really think they're going to keep that promise? So Jairus had to wonder. On his way, Jesus had stopped to help this bleeding woman, but in the process, his daughter died. Why did Jesus take so long? Why didn't he come sooner? Why would he help this unclean woman when he is the ruler of the synagogue? When he is so much more important? Why would he choose to help this other woman and not his daughter? Perhaps he just has too much going on. The strategic wait is being measured. Will we join our flesh in doubting? Will we believe the devil's broken lies? Will we weep with the world and then mock Jesus when he says, "Why are you weeping?" When he says, "The girl is not dead. She's just sleeping." Because to Jesus, death is just like a sleep. We often do wonder those things, but Jesus is here to cast out our flesh, cast out the devil, cast out the weeping world, until the only people are left are those who believe. Those who are ready to hear him say the words, "Talitha kumi." And all hope and patience and faith arises to life because he keeps his promise and his faithfulness is great. Even though his kingdom delays, it does come. And it comes with such power that death is merely asleep and with a whisper, he can startle a dead body to life. God never breaks his promises. That is why the marshmallow test cannot be simply about self-control. That's why your Christian patience cannot be just about your self-control, your strength, your ability. It's a strategic wait, a calculated hope, something that relies on what God is going to do in the future. Even in the face of death, and especially in the face of death, Jesus is Lord of all. And he says, wait. He tells them not to spread this news right away because they need to wait. He hasn't yet risen himself. And that shows us that this miracle he performed on this girl is not the goal of his ministry. The reason why they were told not to spread this news is this wasn't the goal of his ministry. The goal of his ministry was to die on the cross and to rise from the dead so that we may have a hope that goes beyond what's happening in this earthly world. There, he's not crowned Lord of this life, but Lord of eternal life. We have a promise that is more than two marshmallows, a promise that cannot be broken. For weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And when that morning sun arises, God will bring all joy to fulfillment. He will fill you so eternally full that you will never even think about the momentary gratification of your flesh in this world. Jesus never comes too late. He always comes at just the right time. And we know that's what he's going to do for Louise. We know that even though Louise is in the hospital, God is going to come at just the right time. And his will might be to raise her out of that bed and heal her, make her healthy. And his goal might be to raise her out of the grave and make her eternally well on the last day. Either way, it is good. Even when Jesus delays, even when you lose someone that you love in death, even when you yourself face death, Jesus will come. And he will say, Talitha kumi, little girl, arise. And he will raise all the dead, and he will give to all who believe in his promise eternal life. God has more in store for you than just marshmallows. His kingdom is more than just that instant gratification. It's something bigger and something better. More than a touch and a swipe to get the answer, he creates faith. Even if we had that marshmallow, you know what? We would want another one. And another one. And then we'd get so filled up on this world that we would have a stomachache. But God gives us what will truly satisfy us. Your strategic wait is Jesus. A calculated hope. Whether you're facing affliction and Jesus is delaying, or you're facing death and Jesus is delaying, he will come, and we've seen in this series on the kingdom the contrast. In every parable, in every event, there's this contrast between what we see going on in the world and what's really going on in God's kingdom. It's a test of patience measured in Christ. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.